to get my glasses on so I can see. Turn your Bibles, book of Genesis 25. This message affects everyone in here. Everybody can get something from this message. Our young people and older people alike will get something from it. By the way, the title of the message is Sacrificing Your Future for the Pleasure of the Moment. Sacrificing your future for the pleasure of the moment. Heavenly Father, we just ask now that you bless this Lord and just send it forth and let it accomplish everything that you desire and want in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are living in the now generation. Do you know that? I'm sure you're quite aware of that. In fact, we have all kinds of luxuries to help us with things in our life. I've been thinking that when we think about our parents, I'm thinking that we probably have much more time in our hands than they did. I may remember when wash day was exactly what it was. I may remember wash day. I remember the washing machine that had the rollers. How many of you had? I think it's still in our basement, not mine, but my parents' house. I think it's still down there. Those old wheels. Wash day. Then they had the metal things they put in the pants. You know what those stretchers were they put in pants to keep the pants? How many of you don't want to tell me that you remember them? All right, it's okay. All right. Anyway, they had them. And you know sometimes they put it on Facebook. Do you know what these are? I look at them, I think, well, sure I do, but I'm not sure if I want to tell you what they are. I'm not sure I want to answer that. We are living in a lot of different things that help make our life easy. I think about the coffee pot, for example. Now they have a coffee pot that you can put a little pot in and you can have just about any coffee you want in just about the snap of a finger is about how long it takes. Don't even need to sit and wait for it to brew. You just, there it is. It's about as quick as you put the lid down, it's running in your cup. This is how fast, now generation, everything's like this. Whatever we want, we can often find a way to get it immediately. That's good for some things. It's not always good for everything. It certainly can be legitimate. It certainly can be a pressing necessity. But I can tell you it can also be dangerous if what we desire is not something that God wants for us. How many of you as parents had been using something, maybe a knife or something, and your child was young enough to say, I want. Huh? Do you remember that far? Did you give it to them? No. Now, you wouldn't give a child a knife. You wouldn't give a child I thought there might be one of these. You wouldn't. Hey, that's pretty neat. Daddy, can I play with it? No. Well, why don't you just give it to them? Nah, that could be a lot of problems. Can't do that. You know, our Heavenly Father is the same way. He don't always give you what you want. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because if he gave us whatever we wanted, it could hurt us. It could hurt us bad. And the older we get, we need to realize that. Better put this away. Yeah, I shoved it back far enough. Nobody knows where it is. If you want something bad enough, sometimes he gives it to you. Do you remember that happening in your home? Did you agitate your parents? Did you continue to fuss until you got what you wanted and you finally got it? And after you got it, wasn't such a great thing, was it? Wasn't so great. Now that I have it, wasn't such a big deal, was it? I always wanted a BB gun. I never got that because my brother got one and shot all the windows out in the barn. Thanks, brother. Probably had similar things happen in your life. Don't always get what you want. It's the way it is with the Lord. problem is, have it now. We need to pause and consider the consequences. One of Satan's tactics to keep our minds on the pleasures and benefits of what he's offering us. How much better it would be if we learned to submit our desires to the Lord and then wait on him. But no, we just plug forward and try to get what we want when we all know that he knows what's best. Would you agree with me today? Your Heavenly Father knows what is best. Everybody say best. I know you're awake now. I can keep right on going. I'm watching so you don't have to watch the time. I watch the time because I can tell you when I grew up, we had preachers that didn't watch the time. Scotty's shaking his head. So I do. I try to watch the time. But I like to be done when the Holy Spirit says I'm done. Amen. Thank you. But I do watch the time. Try to be courteous. But I still want to do what God wants in the Holy Spirit. Many people today are living in the moment. And they're willing to pay any price to get what they want. Thinking about price, I wrote something in the back of my Bible that I'll never forget. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you are wanting to pay. Many are living in the moment, willing to pay any price to get what they want. You'd be amazed at what people would be willing to pay to get what they want now. You'd be amazed what people pay to have it now. Want it now. And this is the situation we see in the story of Jacob and Esau that's here recorded in Genesis chapter 25, verse 25 through 34, if you're there. Each brother responded to this. It teaches us some essential lessons that we need to hear today. Abraham's son Isaac had twin sons with his wife Rebekah. Esau was the firstborn. He grew up to become a very skillful hunter. Jacob was a peaceful man who preferred staying at home. One day when Jacob had cooked the stew, Esau came in from hunting and said, please, I'm at verse 30, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there. I'm famished. Jacob told Esau if he'd swear to sell him his birthright, he would let him have some. Boy, isn't that just like brothers, huh? Huh? I don't know how old they were, but they're probably teenagers, the way this looks. You know. You know, they were teenagers and they had the brain of a teenager. You know, when teenagers say they know everything, you should just let them cut them loose. Find out real quick. We were all, was you all a teenager one time? How many of you thought you knew more than your parents did? Yeah, I did. Yeah, I thought I knew more. Didn't take too long until I figured out that they knew a whole lot more than I did. And when they said no and they didn't want me to do something, they said it because they loved me. Hello? They said it because they loved me. I didn't look at it that way. I know now they love me. If you love your kids, don't give them everything they want. You listen to me? If you love them, don't give them everything they want. I know of a situation right now where parents had one child. And I know that in that situation, they gave this child everything that this child wanted. And now, this child is very nasty to the parents. It's sad to me. But you know what I told the father? What did you expect? You gave him everything that they wanted. What did you expect to come from this? In the Hebrew family, the birthright was very precious. It was a precious possession. It was always the eldest son, which is granted this place of headship and honor and authority. As well as most of the father's property after his death, of course, it would be distributed by the one that had the birthright. Esau was willing to trade his privilege for some soup. His choice demonstrated that he despised his birthright, verse 34 and verse 32 as well. Esau's mindset is a very perfect picture of our society today. Tends to think only of the present without considering the future consequences. So when do we sacrifice our future for the pleasure of the moment? Well, let me give you a list of the times. We do it when we disregard the sacred values in life. God gave us 10 commandments as a law by which we're to live, where it's for our good. If we disregard them, we'll end up suffering the consequences. There are consequences to choices, to many choices we make. Secondly, when do we sacrifice our future for the pleasures of the moment? When we insist on immediate fulfillment of our desires. We have a few examples of that in the scripture. David and Samson are certainly two good examples of this. King David yielded to his lust for Bathsheba, resorted to the murder of her husband when she became pregnant. The pleasure of the moment yielded painful circumstances for the rest of his life. That choice, by the way, sent a prophet to him that said, "The sword will not depart from your house, from your family. It will not depart." David had a moment of pleasure for a lifetime of regret. A lifetime. And I'm realizing how short a lifetime is. It's really short. Really. When I was a teenager, I thought, brother, this is dragging. This is a big drag. How about it, Bob? Now what I want to do with my life is like them parachutes, you know, that they pull out of them their drag racers, you know. When the drag race is done, the parachute flies out the back and that's what I want to do with my life is going like the dragster. I just want to slow it up a little bit. But it's going so fast. Halfway through the year already, folks. I used to tease my mother. I'd say, "Mom, I can do this till you get turned around." She said, "You just wait till you get my age. You'll figure out what that's like." You'll figure out what that's like. We insist on immediate fulfillment. David certainly was that man. To pleasure of a moment yielded a very painful time throughout the rest of his life. The other man was Samson. As you remember, he was given supernatural strength by God to fight the Philistines, but his desire for Delilah led him to foolishly tell her the secret of his great strength was in his hair. As a result, she cut his hair. The Philistines overpowered him. They bound him. They blinded him. Threw him in prison to work as a grinder. He wrecked and ruined his life by seeking his own desires instead of obeying the Lord. Thirdly, when our focus is on the world rather than on the eternal, we tend to think that we can pursue whatever we want because no one, and even including God, will notice. God notices everything. He sees everything. We forget his principles never fail. Whatever we sow, now we will reap in the future. And by the way, that's a scriptural principle. And it don't matter what you sowed before you got saved, you will still reap when you do get saved. Don't think for a minute that when you get saved, you're just going to erase all that stuff that you think that you sowed, you won't reap. No, 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 it doesn't work that way. Let me tell you how it works. Remember Apostle Paul? You know how much he persecuted the church? How many of you remember reading how he persecuted the church? Guess what? He had a lifetime of persecution. He reaped what he sowed. In fact, he had some sort of an occasion. Some think it was a fleshly thing. We don't know for sure exactly what his thorn in the flesh was, but he sought the Lord to remove it, and the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you, Paul." Do you know what that means? You reap what you sow. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Fourthly, when we make irrevocable decisions in periods of physical and emotional weakness, what's irrevocable mean? Anyone. Can't change it. It's something you made a decision, you can't change it. Esau sold his birthright. Can't change it. It's exactly what Esau did. In a moment of fatigue and exhaustion, he forgot about the future. He traded away his promised position of authority and power in the family for a bowl of soup. Must have been Campbell's chicken noodle. Later, when he wanted it back, it was too late. He lost his birthright forever. Sin cannot be hidden. Its satisfaction is only temporary, and regrets will always follow. You think about decisions you've made. Have any regrets? Are those regrets still with you? Are you still living with them? All for a moment of pleasure? Fifthly, when we have no respect for spiritual things. King Saul is an example who disregarded God's decision to make David the next king of Israel. In his determination to hang on to his kingdom, he did everything he could to hunt down and kill David in an attempt to stop God's plan to make David the next king. As a result, Saul suffered mental torment. Both he and his son Jonathan were killed in battle. He destroyed his future because of his obsession to keep what he desired most, the kingdom. He wanted his kingdom. Lastly, sixthly, when we fail to examine the possible consequences of our actions. Judas walked with Jesus as one of his disciples because he thought that Jesus would overthrow Rome and liberate Israel and rule the world. Is what he had hoped for. But when Judas didn't get what he wanted, he betrayed Jesus and suffered eternal condemnation. Anytime we sin in seeking our desires, consequences will follow. So instead of rushing ahead to fulfill our longings, we ought to consider God's will and his timing in our lives. We must guard against being like Esau, who sacrificed his future for a moment's pleasure. His bowl was filled with soup, but we fill ours with all sorts of things instead of seeking the only one who can truly satisfy the longing of our souls. So, what is in our bowl today that carries disastrous consequences? How about alcohol? We can buy and drink all we want and feel good for a while. But the results can become enslaving and make life very difficult. And the results are long-lasting. I think of the families ruined and children ruined because of too much alcohol. Didn't know when to stop. How about prejudice? Passing judgment on others simply because you don't relate to them. This never pleases God. How about drugs? After all, no one intends to become addicted to drugs. But the sought after pleasure and relief soon turned into bondage. How many of you know James Taylor, the singer? Huh? Anybody? Nobody? Couple people? I read an article just recently about James Taylor. James Taylor said there's three things that can really mess up a relationship. One was addiction. Two was debt. And three was having children before you're ready. Those obviously were his three problems that wrecked his relationship. Bitterness. It begins with anger and grows into more destructive emotion that affects our entire being. Adultery. It's often glamorized in our culture. Adultery destroys individuals and families. Abortion. It may seem like a way to escape a very difficult situation, but those involved in abortion carry a very heavy weight of guilt. Hatred. Even if we feel justified in our hatred, it damages our emotions, our health, attitudes, and relationships with others and with God. Unforgiveness. The right response to every offense is forgiveness. But harboring unforgiveness is a sin that hinders our lives. Lastly, anger. When we hold on to anger for wrongs committed against us, our bodies, feelings, spirits, and relationships suffer. To continue in these sins will only result in future suffering. If we find any of these in our lives, we need to ask God to cleanse and forgive us so we can live the life that he intends for us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you, like Esau, ever traded something precious for a moment's pleasure? What consequences did you experience? What lessons did you learn? The next time you have a strong desire and the ability to fulfill it, what should you do to ensure that you do not make a foolish decision? What spiritual benefits and fruit would come from denying ourselves of some of our desires? Ever think of that? How many would be willing to say, Pastor, this message spoke to me, pray for me? Put your hand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wonderful. 9, 10. Wow. Would you stand? I'm going to pray for all of you. I'm going to pray for all of you. I can put my hand up. The Lord spoke to me in this message before I shared it with you today. God speaks to my heart as well when these messages are his word. His word does not return void. It speaks to all of us. Heavenly Father, you know how wonderful it is to be back here. I'm just really grateful and thankful. Thankful, Lord, to have these people, my family back, just a few more, Lord, that we're waiting on, and we'll be just so thankful for each and every one of them. Today, Lord, I've asked these that have been affected by this message, and they've raised their hands. Lord, I want to pray for each and every one of these that raised their hand. Father, I pray that you'll do a work in their life. I pray that this word today was like a mirror And when they looked onto it, they seen things that could really be changed. And Lord, you can do that. You can make those changes. Help them to make those changes. Help them, Lord, to be careful who they run around with. Our young people, be careful who their friends are. I pray, Father, that for our young people right now especially, if there's any friends they have that shouldn't be their friends, I pray, Father, that right now there's some way that you can just stop this friendship. Whatever it takes, stop it. If this isn't going in the right direction, stop it. Because, Lord, I don't want these children and teenagers to be going in any direction that would be against you. Father, keep them on the path that they need to be on, your path, the straight and narrow way. Keep them on that path, Lord. Father, I pray again for these hands that were raised, that, Lord, you'll do a work in each of their lives. I pray that you'll fill them afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit. If they're not saved, I ask, Lord, that they would just pray this prayer. Forgive me, Lord, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I invite you to come and live in my heart. I want to live for you from this day forward. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, it's time now to leave. Be with each and every one. Give them all a safe trip to their homes. Till we come back again, in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.